All right, we're back on the stream, but we had to pause for a guest. He's logging in.
No way.
We're live, dude.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Nobody's watching.
Two people are watching.
Hi, people. I just took a wee wee. Sorry. I feel like laughing less than a naked gentleman.
At least we didn't see anything. Holy God.
Oh, yeah. I don't do, like, you know, cock shots when I pee on a call. I just, you know, I gotta pee. All right. I thought we were on hold.
No.
My bad.
No. I just had the logo up.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Proof I am human. If I was a fake robot construct of the deep state, you would not be able to see me pee live.
Hey Siri, call Vladimir Putin.
Calling Vladimir Putin.
Live from Nixon's birthplace, Orange County, California, it's Bad Libs, the only podcast that's 100% certified libtarded. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Miller and Brendan Woodruff.
All right. We are live. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bad Libs podcast. I am your host, Brendan Woodruff.
I am also your host, Zachary, smoking a pink Blazy Susan joint because it's really about She-Ra, not He-Man Miller. I have this theory that human civilization is heading towards She-Ra versus He-Man. Like, alpha women will take over the female population in defense of matriarchy, and alpha men will take over the male population in defense of patriarchy, and then it will be She-Ra versus He-Man.
Yeah, that's the plot of a number of sexploitation novels in the 70s.
Is it really? Oh, yeah,
yes.
Like Amazon Women on the Moon?
Yeah, you know, like these paranoid novels about the feminist takeover of America from like 1972.
Oh,
you know?
I'm not worried about the feminists take over America. I'm worried about the fucking whatever. What's the male?
Yeah, but they, what it winds up being is this, like, this band of men needs to fight this, like, biker gang of women, and it's like very.
Oh, I don't think they need to fight them. I don't think they need to fight them.
It's like apocalyptic porn. It's, you know,
is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of novels like that from the 70s. They've got all these really funny covers. And it's like, in the future wasteland of 1987.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah. We haven't changed much. We just have new toys, huh?
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. So welcome to Mad Libs, everybody. Today should be an interesting episode. I got a peek at the rundown. From Belarus to Smellarus, it's been an interesting week.
It's weird. It doesn't seem like it's been that intense of a week in news, but a bunch of stuff happened.
Oh, yeah. That's because we're numb, bro.
I know.
We're numb. Anything could happen now, and you just get up and go to work the next day anyway.
I know.
I mean, what else are you going to do? Sit around and cry about the fact that the world's fucking crazy? Like, any UFO aliens are, like, here.
Oh, that's, I know. The government's just like, yeah, UFOs are real. Hey, what's up? We don't know what these things are. Not necessarily aliens. We don't fucking know.
Well, they're saying they don't know. They're releasing a data set, which will probably give some clarity to what percentage of these reports are actual UFOs versus explainable UFOs. But
yeah,
they're still not gonna identify the flying object. So
yeah, I think some of it's probably just like some farmer saw a flash of light. You know, doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I understand. They're just gonna give you data sets that are gonna say what we already know, but they're not gonna identify the flying object, which is the secret that everybody's waiting to be let out.
Is it just, in 2 years they're gonna be like, Roswell's real, all that shit happened. And it'll be like, oh, okay.
I mean,
I don't give a shit.
Gonna,
there's this other bigger thing happening.
They're not going to, like, They're not gonna like show off the spaceship on the, you know, in DC. It's not gonna.
Yeah. Well, what's gonna happen is like aliens are gonna land in the middle of like the 2024 election, and everyone's just gonna be like, guys, we're busy. Shut the fuck up. Go away.
Yeah, seriously. Are you registered to vote? Otherwise, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, we're not alone in the universe. Big fucking deal. We have problems. Can you fix our climate?
Big shocker. Are you here to help? Otherwise, can you leave us the fuck alone? Yeah. I would kill us already. Another fucking Jesus Christ.
Put the probe in there.
I think this is a continual process. I think just right now we're paying attention to it, but once everything that comes out is mostly a dud and the world keeps spinning, it'll be the guy from Blink 182 and the usual suspects talking about it.
Tom DeLonge is going to come out in a lab coat and be like, I've been working with these alien scientists.
I mean, who the fuck knows? I mean, he's like a legitimate cat.
I know.
Real research, and I'm not disrespecting.
Yeah, I'm aware. He's like deep in the world of like the search for an extraterrestrial life.
Yeah, I'm like, not disrespecting.
He's a big part of that shit.
I respect all those scientists at SETI and Tom and everybody who's like chasing after this answer. But like, good for you. Like the fact that that can be your life's work and you can still eat, awesome. But the rest of us have to like worry about the rest of the world and what's like definitely happening. Not what might be happening and may or wild, may not be affecting us.
The fucking Jesus is gonna come back.
Something might happen. I mean, who knows? Again, the tropes are the same, so it makes me feel like history is just repeating itself. We're just looking at it differently with our new technology. It's like nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, the people are the same, you know.
The people are the same, the stories are the same, the fears are the same. We just have these new tools to look at what's happening. Mm-hmm. Also, our population's the highest it's ever been in modern, you know, probably ever. Unless we got wiped out before and we can't quantify our prior civilizations population. But regardless, you know, we got real problems. And we got to fucking focus on like what's in front of us and what's real, not fucking what could be and what's not in front of us.
Disappearing biomass in the oceans. No, I mean,
that's happening. Stuff like that, like democracy, like the ability to like have functioning democracies on this planet kind of matters to me.
So we're, let's just jump. Oh, let's do the business stuff and we'll jump into the list. Follow us on at Bad Lips Pod on Twitter. All of our links are at badlipspod.com. Tell your friends, send them that link and then they can find wherever they want to listen to us. We are literally on every single podcast service. So find us. Just type in Bad Lips.
We have one listener on every single podcast
service. I believe so. Actually, I've looked at our analytics and it's like 1%, 1%, 1%, 5%, 36%, and then like Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, we're spread across the platforms. We are so a really fully integrated podcast.
I should actually get rid of my little lower third. I am officially off Twitter. I hate Twitter. Fuck Twitter. But Zach is on Twitter. He's at Zach Miller Dog. The podcast is on Twitter at Bad Lips Pod. So do all that stuff. And we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back. All right, we are back. So, the 1 year anniversary of the murder of George Floyd was this week.
Yeah. And his murderer is in prison.
The judge, one of the judges found that there was enough evidence basically that it qualified for more jail time. I forget the exact terminology, but like the crime is heinous enough and there's enough evidence that like he gets the longer sentences.
Good. I mean, it's one of the few bright spots of, let's call this, decade.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think about like how much has changed and then how much is still the same. Like, still, I think since George Floyd was killed, like another 975 people have been shot by cops.
975?
something like that in a year. Yeah, that's actually low. I mean, it's usually over 1,000. Sometimes it's 1,300.
Killed by police in a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think? It's high. Yeah. It's like 3-4 a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when you hear the veteran suicide numbers. They're just staggering.
Yeah, it's like 20 a day or some shit like that.
It's just retarded. Just like in droves, just killing themselves. And it's just no one talks about it except for veterans groups.
Yeah, we don't do anything about it. I mean, it's the America has always treated its veterans like shit.
Well, I think we have a lot
of propaganda venerating soldiers so we can keep them going to war. And then when we're done with them, it's like, oh, okay, well, fuck you.
I think if we learned anything from Vietnam, and I'm not saying this is correct, but I feel like this is how we approach it, is that it's impossible to fix the monsters we created in that hell we created. So if they die, that's probably easier for the fucking. I mean, it's disgusting. We don't take care of veterans.
We don't. We've
taken care of veterans. Not appropriately.
Let me get back to that point. I want to keep talking about systemic racism and stuff that has changed.
Hold on. Can you pause? Mm. And then we're gonna have to get back. Abdullah's here.
Oh, okay.
I am so sorry. I'm almost never late for things, but. I have so little respect for you guys.
That's amazing. Yeah,
this is very out of character. I'm so sorry. I got screwed up. It's the 3-day weekend, and I think it's one day, and it's not.
I figured it's fine.
I feel very bad. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, it's no worries.
Have you had any coffee and herb yet this morning, good sir?
I have some coffee right here, and I'll hit some of this. I have some herb here, so
I'm smoking. I'm smoking on a Joe Savage Skylark, my dude.
How's that doing? Yeah,
top notch, lady centric trap herb, bro. My face.
It's like the Virginia Slims of weed. Zach, introduce our guest.
All right, for anybody watching right now and those listening in the future, we are now welcoming our disrespectful as fuck and incredibly disheveled guest, my good friend, Mr. Abdullah Saeed from Bon Appetit and NPR and all that stuff. He's the weed guru and a guy who hates authoritarianism with a fucking passion.
Hell yeah. Which is
one of the reasons I love him so much. I was in Abdullah's house smoking weed in Palm Springs when the announcement came on the news that Chauvin got arrested, as a matter of fact.
So fuck you. That's our first thing on our list. 1-year anniversary of George Floyd.
That's right. Yeah, so why don't you pick up right and then Abdullah hop in when you're ready.
We got off track and started talking about how we treat veterans, which also we treat the black veterans worse than the white veterans. So like, hey, this all dovetails together, right? Mm-hmm. But like just to sort, I mean, like the bonus army, like they had promised. They gave all of these World War I veterans like bonds that weren't cashable until like 1944. And then the Depression happened and all these World War I veterans showed up in D.C. were like, yo, give us our fucking money. We need it now. And then MacArthur like drove them all out with the army and horses and shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the bonus army.
The thing that always gets me is like, okay, so I was born in America, but I grew up in another country. I grew up in Thailand and I'm Pakistani, right? So I didn't like come and live in America until I was 13, right?
Yeah.
And you know, prejudice exists everywhere. Everywhere there's a group of people that's marginalized and one group is, but the thing that you notice about America, there's two things that you first notice about America when you get here, right? One is that everyone is very fat. Right. This is not normal everywhere. There's a lot of very fat people everywhere. Yeah. Right. Which
I've
is
been
cool.
All over the country. There's no escape.
Yeah. Which is cool. It is just, you know, just like by sheer body size, there are more large people here. And the second thing is that, man, this country really enjoys and like, you know, loves hating black people and fucking their shit up.
We did it first. We did it best.
Yeah, it is like the zenith of discrimination. It's like, it's such like dialed in. They're like, oh, generation.
World famous original racism.
Yeah. They're like, yes, actually, my great-great-grandfather was on the Mayflower and hit an Indian with a stick on his first day in America. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the depths of discrimination are so like, you know, it's like, racism.
And we've really let those flavors sit and meld for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been stewing, you know, like 16 herbs and spices.
That's so funny, bro. I have to keep from being fresh. That's really funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this is the thing that like, you're like, oh, wow, like, you guys love this. Like, meaning, and also, the other argument is that, like, America just doesn't understand, where it's like, like, they'll be like, okay, slavery's wrong. Like, don't, no, you should, every person is normal. You are a person, this guy is a person, even though his skin is dark. And they're like, gotcha. He's 3/5 of a person. Totally understood. And they're like, no, that's a person. You're a person. That's a person too. They're like, right, totally gotcha. We're people. Separate bathroom, separate water fountains, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Totally, but same. It's like, no, you're just a person. That's just a person. Same shit. And they're like, right, totally. So
just not at the yeah, counter, though. Stay
yeah,
away.
Yeah. Like, we lock them in jail. They all go to jail, and we get to be here, right? Is that...
we'll pretend to believe what you're saying is okay, but we don't believe it, and it's not okay.
Hey, yeah. No, we got rid of Aunt Jemima, so that's...
Yeah, that's what you wanted, right? You hated you didn't like the logo of the syrup bottle? Gone.
Check we got rid of Aunt Jemima, but you're voting right. We also got rid of yeah. Two.
They're like, those two?
Are you happy?
You guys really want everything.
Are you happy? We fixed the syrup bottle, but you can't vote anymore. Cool? Fair?
We outlawed mammy imagery and advertising.
Oh, but you can't vote. And we're killing you in record numbers with the police. Is that cool? This is like a fair deal.
Yeah, right? Like, this is good, right?
Have you listened to Behind the Bastards, where like basically like they replaced lynching with just aggressive policing?
Like, yeah, it's like, it's the same community of laborers, you know what I mean, that went from catching to policing, and it's crazy.
It was, you know, because people were like, oh, clearly these roving lynch mobs are bad. Well, what if we could just guarantee all these black people would wind up in prison? Then people would calm down and stop lynching.
Yeah, it's basically crazy. It's a very deep, deep-seated, you know, sort of supremacy, like, you know, racism. And it's hard to explain. Like, look, I'm Muslim. I'm Pakistani. Pakistanis and Indians, Muslims and Hindus have historically had a thing. They hate each other. Mm-hmm. It's inexplicable because we all look exactly the fucking same. Speak the same
language.
It's
like in Europe, they hate each other. They're all white.
Yeah, you know, Swedes and Norwegians hate each other. Koreans and Japanese hate each other, right?
There's more of a reason for that, though.
Yes, that goes back to, you know, like some wartime shit. And I, obviously I'm not well versed enough in that to, you know, say one way or another. My point of saying is that this is seems to be a natural thing that people, you know, butt heads and hate each other, you know, when they're adjacent to each other or whatever, right? They have disputes. But in America, it's like the only place, well, there's definitely other places, but in America it's like special, right? Where it's like, it's not like, oh, they're our neighbors, we hate them. It's like, I'm going to cross a fucking ocean to bring people over here to fuck with them and then hate on their ancestors when they're like, oh, like, we want to go to the same school. It is like, it's a very, like, when you really lay it out, it's pretty insane. It's like pretty sociopathic levels of, like, you know what I mean? Like, of discrimination. And it's just like, it seems very needless. And I think about it, like, you know, like when I see it plainly, when you see it in the news, it's like, if you're an American, you live in America, this is like a geographically isolated country. People don't often, like, you know, appreciate, like, Americans, it's hard for Americans, especially in the middle of the country, to take a step back and be like, let's look at the grand scheme of things. Like, you know, like in time,
100%.
And in space. And if you really like look at it relatively, yes, the world is full of fucked up shit, but American discrimination is like a special level of insane. You know?
Yeah, and it's hard. You're like from some 98% white town in Nebraska that still hasn't had any kind of real demographic change. Like it's just difficult to imagine America as not being a white place. It's just hard.
But that's a disease that spans way past just the people who live in these weird.
Oh, I'm aware. There's a lot of people who are adults who grew up where like in with their childhood it was mostly white. So that's still where their default is, even if the place has changed since then.
But even the mass majority of people who live in multicultural, busier urban sprawl areas still fundamentally lacks the ability to apply context. And
yeah,
it's a skill that like not many of us have. Like not nearly enough of us have. And that's the problem, is that like they can't apply context. They can't like see things from different perspectives. They can't ask questions. They can't they don't know how to prove a theory. They can't walk through steps of facts. They're just bubble fucking heads. And they're all getting trapped in a bunch of different little bubbles or big bubbles, depending where they're at. But bubbles nonetheless, because they can't get themselves out of bubbles because they can't apply context. And the smartphone has made it infinitely worse.
So I gotta plow through these notes because we have limited time.
Real quick, I just gotta say, you know why I think that Zach Miller should be our guy on the inside with these issues? Because when you look at him, it's like if he walked into the room and they're like, this is the guy representing the lefties, you know, they'd be like, OK, great. This guy couldn't possibly know what the fuck he's talking about. And yet,
when Snyder went to testify to Congress.
And yet, Zach Miller is a fucking really intelligent guy, man. I've listened to your show. And I gotta hand it to both of you guys, you know, and the guests that you've had is like, it's actually really, despite the production value of this show, I gotta say, the content is excellent.
Are you calling me the Billy Ho of fucking political commentary? I'm like the ringer who nobody thinks can. Have you seen White Man Can't Jump?
Yes. Oh my God. Why? And then not in a long time, but yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Nobody thinks I can talk shit. And then you hit me with some topics. What's up? Let's go.
And you're like jab talking, like, it's like dribbling between the legs.
It's like when D. Snyder went to testify to Congress and he dressed as D. Snyder and like came out with a crumbled piece of paper and was like, fuck you, this is the best speech you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah, dude. And the best thing about that is they made a made-for-TV movie about Frank Zappa, John Denver, and Dee Snyder going to Congress and whatever, you know, Tipper Gore, that whole thing. And you know who played Dee Snyder in that movie?
Who?
Dee fucking Snyder. He played himself. Everyone else was actors. Everyone else was an actor. He played himself in that movie. I don't remember if it was good, but I learned about the whole thing through this made-for-TV movie. I didn't know about it until, I mean, I was, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm really glad I saw it because, you know, as a high school kid, you don't appreciate the fact that, you know, we do have a, you know, pretty vast freedom of speech when it comes to music. I really think, I don't listen to Lil Nas X. I'm fucking 37. I don't listen to, like, young shit, but I really respect that guy's game in terms of using the breadth of freedom of speech that we have in music more so than we have in a lot of other mediums. I would say like in television, because of just like, you know, the controlled medium, right, of television, which is still pretty much monopolized by a handful of companies and also, you know, like
advertisers
and then web series, independent television series making hasn't become what we hoped it would become. Right. You would have hoped to see like huge shows that everyone's watching, especially in this era when, you know, people watch user generated content. But, you know, like you don't see that as much and you do see it in music. And, you know, I'm stoked on it because like the amount of fucked up shit that you hear in music, like I was listening to like Tool and Slipknot like my parents could not imagine that that was legal to do. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. The shit fucking, when I was like 11, Fuck the Pain Away by Peaches came out.
Big song. Big song.
And people freak out about like WAP. And it's like, do you know what was like around me at 10? Were you on Twitter for this whole flare up about like kink at Pride and shit?
For what was it?
There was this whole flare up about should there be kink stuff at Pride, parades.
I did not see this. I don't know like the details of the argument.
Oh, God. Okay. So it was a lot of...
The gays are policing themselves to not be too outrageously gay.
Yeah, because the idea is like you want, you know, there's LGBT kids and you want it to be inclusive for kids. But it's also like, I mean, the people who started Pride in the 80s also knew there were LGBT kids and they were still like... No, fuck you. We're having a gimp suit in this float. You know what I mean?
Like, why not? Like, what's the big deal? Like, your concept, you know, the reason that's kinky is because of puritanical shame, right? And yeah. So this is a thing that, you know, and okay, look, I'm a straight male, you know, I don't claim to understand. It's like, yeah, I'm glad we got these three straight men here, I'm assuming. You know, based on, you know, Brendan, based on your wall art, I just assume that you're a straight guy, right?
But I got Mothra over here.
Yeah, hell yeah. But yeah, so I'm saying, like, you know, I think this should be like a big tent type of thing, right? It's like everyone of any weird sexuality. In fact, I think you want more people, like, you know, even people who think that they are just conventional or straight, to be like, oh, actually, look, everyone has like sort of a kink and it's something. But then again, I also see that the conflation of a kink with your actual sexuality, like that maybe doesn't seem totally appropriate.
I get that. I understand.
Can I say something real quick if you guys are done trying to prove?
No, I don't think that's.
I have some thoughts, but go ahead.
Two viewers that you guys are both heterosexual, if I will step in and say allegedly on both your accounts. Now, the thing here is, once again, it comes back to context. And if people can apply context, they can establish priority, right? And if you're trying to protect kids by not letting them see a grown man in some type of gimp outfit, which I don't know what a child would think that implies if they weren't well versed in that type of sexuality, but I don't think it's that big a deal, especially when you compare it with the fact that lots of priests are definitely fucking kids like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so, also,
you know, it's like, what are our priorities here, folks?
Also, like, if you don't want your kid to see that, like, don't take them. I get that, like, you want it to be inclusive, but like, usually there's other events. It's not just the one. Not every pride is like that.
If a kid who's never seen S&M type sex activity sees a grown man in a leather outfit, they're just gonna think he's some type of weird video game fighter,
superhero.
Not gonna understand the fact that it's.
You know, talk to your kids if you're really worried. Like, cover their fucking eyes. Like, it's it's not a surprise.
What the fuck?
It's not like you turned a corner.
That has to do with anything sexual unless you've already exposed your children to S&M content in your home. Period. Yeah, no child would associate a man dressed in a leather gimp outfit with sex unless they've been predisposed to associate that outfit with sex. They would just look at it and say, that's a silly outfit. That's a silly outfit.
Yeah.
They look at the type of content these kids look at with fucking characters and cartoons, they think it's a superhero or some type of silly person. They wouldn't think anything about butt.
It's like Hellraiser. All the Hellraiser things are based on S&M shit.
It's just like, ooh, totally. I like that guy's outfit. That's cool. Okay, great.
Yeah, and like that kid is, you know, gonna see like Pulp Fiction or whatever eventually. And I think, like, you know, like when we look at the way men are adjusted in our society today, I think it's hard to be like, oh, the way that we're rearing men is perfect. So we can't mess that up by showing them. No, like, fucking men are monsters, right? And are totally, like, it is a male sexuality that's sort of weaponized to turn men into, you know, monsters within the construct of, you know, capitalism or just like whatever the world today, right? So it's like, you have to, no one can say like, oh, look, if I show my son, you know, a guy in a gimp suit when he's seven or whatever, he's going to become a screw. No, it's like, well, we're starting from a baseline of pretty shitty, fucked up men. So it's like, you know, I think it's open for discussion, or, you know what I mean? Like, and again, I and in total agreement with what Zach is saying, this is like a thing where I remember seeing like an image on the news or something of a baby, and they blurred the nipples of the baby. And it's like, that wasn't weird until you made it weird, trying not to make it weird, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, it's the same thing. It's because we're so prudish and scared of this stuff. We're like, oh my God, like, kids should have no idea about this shit. Well, then they learn it the ways that they've been learning it, and we end up with a bunch of toxic, fucked up, monstrous men out there.
Alpha men are glass mountains, bro. These super alpha men. And it's like, I used to dress in a tutu when I was like four because I thought it was funny. I'd come down in my sister's tutu.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Kids play. Yeah, like, nobody dress
was worried I'd turn out gay, and I didn't. And fucking, yeah. And I smashed mad puss, and I'm not really into dudes. But maybe at some point I want to put a dick in my mouth.
It
hasn't happened yet. But maybe in my 50s I get famous.
This is like a gorgeous dick,
like Brad Pitt and Lenny Kravitz. You know what I mean?
So maybe
I end up with a dick in my mouth. I don't know. I'm just saying it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter.
It
has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. And it wasn't because you were exposed to some imagery at some point or whatever. It's like, yeah.
The shit I saw in movies as a kid? Oh my God.
What scares a kid more is your taboo over it. That it's like you see something in a movie. It's like, you know, you accidentally see a sex scene in a movie, and your parents are like, oh God, no. Like, that reaction is going to fuck them up more than actually seeing the thing, you know?
The arguments that I've been hearing are like, well, I can't consent to your sexual kink activity if I'm in public and you're just doing it in public. It's like, Pride's a planned event. If there's going to be kink there, hopefully they say like, hey, like 13 up or whatever, be, you know, PG-13, like, you know, your kids.
Yeah,
maybe
they're
not ready for this. It's not like you turn the corner and suddenly there's like a gimp dude masturbating. Like, that I gets wrong. I get like penetrative sex on a float is wrong, you know.
And those same parents will leave their children unsupervised for hours and hours and hours with access to cable television and the internet.
Yep.
It's a fucking joke, dude. It's ridiculous.
And it's a public space. Like, that's not how consent works in public spaces. You can fucking turn around. Like, no one's making you look at shit. What? That's not, you're not like, uh-oh, I saw a gimp suit. I just have to keep looking at it. I didn't consent to this. What is wrong with you? We have eyelids.
I see damn near anything but like porn. Just because I'm not like, they're not sexually active and I'm not ready to explain sex to them yet. They haven't hit puberty yet. But I've exposed them to a decent amount. I've showed my kid Point Break
when he
was like four, bro. Yeah, they watch Friends. They have questions. But you know the difference between what we expose them to and what we don't? Is that regardless of what we expose them to, we discuss it with them. We answer their questions. We provide context. These other folks don't want to fucking provide context for their children or
a lot of people aren't parents and they just are like
for them, and you can't do that. It's a crazy world out here.
Yeah,
you can't expect the world to fucking raise your children. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, you know, like something I remember, you know, I grew up in a Muslim family that's like, you know, of course, you know, pretty I wouldn't say conservative, but like prudish about talking about, you know, explaining any of this shit to your kids. I remember asking my mom at some reasonable age, I don't know, 5 or 6, being like, well, how does a baby get from being inside like a pregnant woman's stomach to out? And my mom, not wanting to tell me about the existence of vaginas, traumatized me by telling me they had to cut my stomach open and pull you out, which is not the case. I was not a C-section. And when she told it to me, she said, that's what I did for you. She used the lie. And I was fucking traumatized by that. And my mom is a good mom. But you know what I'm saying? She was like, if I'm lying, I might as well use it to fuck this kid up and guilt him.
She was a good mom. She raised you, but she was clearly a bit immature at that point. That's okay. We'll give her a pass. That's hilarious.
I saw people saying things like, fuck. Like, you just want to fight, like, to have sex in public. It's like, you know how many people have fucking sex in public? All the time? Straight people get away with their kinks in public.
That's
fucking
true.
Constantly. Constantly. I've seen people get, like, third base on the beach, and it's, like, crowded.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're, like, barely wearing shit at the beach. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Sex on a public street.
Like, who, like, people that gets, yeah, straight people get away with that shit, but gay people can't because, like, a dog hood is uncomfortable to people. Like,
right. Yeah. And see, it is true. I think that there is everybody who sort of polices other people's, you know, like, preferences in any way is, it's like, you know, you're starting from, like, an impossible place, right? You can't, like, pick and choose which things make you uncomfortable about other people's decisions. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, obviously, sure. As long as no one's hurting anyone else, you know, yeah. Or, you know, whatever. Some people consensually hurt each other, you know what I mean? And they're into that. But it's like, it's a very slippery slope to start off by saying, here's a standard for what's normal or whatever, right?
Yeah. One more bad argument I want to cover, and then we'll move on from this. But another thing that I saw, and I just forgot the argument.
Well, that's why you're worthless in this show.
I'm high. So sorry about that. We'll move on. Either way, it's all bullshit, and I hate it, and there's a bunch of prudes. Oh, no. A bunch of people are making fuss about, like, well, kids should be able to go. And it's like, kids can't go to a lot of things that aren't age-appropriate for them. Like, I know that being an LGBT kid, that's rough. But, like, sorry, sometimes you just got to wait till you're 13. I don't care. Like, you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
I think it's true. It's not, that's like saying, like, you know, these R-rated movies should have less sex scenes or so kids can go. And it's like, no, well, there's movies for kids too. You know what I mean? It's like, and
there's
maybe
events
there
for
should
you.
Be, yeah, there should be a kids pride parade. I think that's what this should probably spawn. Yeah, it's start fine. A pride parade that's just for LGBTQ plus kids, right? Yeah. And
if you're a parent and you take them butt for kink, you probably support the kids. So, like, they got a supportive home.
Yeah. Nickelodeon can sponsor it. There could be slime.
Just Nickelodeon better fucking
rainbow colored slime. That shit would be rad.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
You did it.
Yeah, right. This is it, dude. Right here, copyright patent motherfucking pending.
I'm gonna skip a couple things. Let's talk about how states. Because we started this talking about George Floyd. States are banning.
The things you skipped over were, like, you know, Muslims are, like, the main problem in the world. Whatever. Too many brown people. I mean,
we've got 100 episodes about that. So, like, let's move on.
This guy's not going to love these topics. Let's skip them.
We're skipping our Pakistanis are the worst humans alive.
I'm like picturing this checklist in front of Brendan.
This is the pro Modi podcast. We love Narendra Modi here.
Oh my god.
No. States, GOP legislatures in a bunch of states are banning, quote, critical race theory in schools. Which is, hey, stop talking about slavery. It's like, let's go back to the 50s where slaves are workers who were treated nicely.
This gets to the gymnastics that people do in this country to stay racist. And it's like, this is what I was talking about up top. They love racism here. It's not like they love to hate. They love to hate black people. They love to fuck their shit up. It is like almost a greater, like, you know, portion of American culture than like anything else. You know what I'm saying? It's like to match the cultural contributions we've got from, you know, black people in this country, like jazz and hip hop. They're like, you know, the white tradition, the white, like, great, like, long tradition is like racism, the best fucking racism anywhere in the world.
Black Americans are the most American portion of our population, period. Their culture was literally erased and reinvented here. They are America.
Yeah.
Black people are America, period. So, to announce that in any way is intrinsically un-American. And they
consistently
make me want
the
to
most
fucking
you. Consistently, they are also the most committed to our actual professed values as a country. Because, of course.
So true.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But like critical race theory is like an actual thing. Like it's you can major in it in school and stuff. It's not just talking about racism. But the way Republicans use it is a way, like, hey, let's talk about this like obscure academic thing as just a way to hide, like, yeah, just I don't want to talk about Jim Crow anymore.
It's so insidious. It's so insidious. It's the same gymnastics you have to do to be a deeply Christian person who thinks that a fucking like reality show star from New York is on your side just because he wants to curb abortion rights or whatever, right? It is like, yeah. They make so many concessions to be able to do that. And it's like, you know, like, I wonder it's also like-
they're fucking uncultured, context, yeah. Inability, retard. They're dumb.
Well, and it's also extra galling because they've spent the last 7 years like making a huge fuss about like free speech on campus and academic freedom, and like professors are being fired for being conservative, and like, oh yeah, but also like no teaching of this one subject in any schools in our state. Fuck you.
Like, yeah. It is, you know, like, I feel like we're eroding the all the sediment that's around the, you know, like, the white supremacist core of this whole argument, or, like, you know, this whole group of people in the country as time goes on. And as, like, you know, look, I think we really are, you know, heading towards that time where there's going to be minority majority in America, right? And as we get to that, the arguments for suppressing minorities just like erode away. And I think we're finding underneath it the thing that none of us wanted to find, which is like just pure uncut white supremacy. Yeah. Like the, yeah. That. And you realize like that's actually what's been at play this whole time. You know what I mean? We might have been able to bury it better when it was Nixon and Reagan, and, you know, they could sort of moralize and be like, oh, this is the reason we're doing it. But then you like brush it all away. And I mean, think about it. We have a Supreme Court justice on there right now who's in her 40s, who denied that systemic racism exists. Right. Mm. It is like it's such a fucking like we're either fucked or white people are going to be slaves in 20 years. I don't know which thing is going to happen. I don't think
that's going to happen.
In which case, dibs on these two guys. Dibs on you two. You guys
rad,
are good.
We would be rad
will
slaves.
Will you be my master, Abdullah?
Yes, will you work on my date farm here in the desert.
My Arab oppressor. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Your enemies will know you before you ever meet them, my friend. Have you seen Kingdom of Heaven, bro?
Not in ages.
No, not in a long time.
Such a good movie. I still haven't memorized. Anyway, continue, bro. You're the host. I'm sorry.
So this is kind of related. They just discovered, let me pull up this article here. Let's see. In Canada, you know, the nice America, they just found an Indigenous Canadian. This is an article from Axios. An Indigenous Canadian group announced plans Saturday to identify the remains of 215 children found buried at the site of a former residential school run by the Catholic Church. Just a mass grave of Native children in Canada. Because
yeah.
I don't know if you know about how Canada's. America. Yeah, I don't know how if much you know about how Canada's treated Native Americans, but.
Very, very just, badly.
Just well, like here.
I remember first hearing about this when there was, I can't remember if it was a documentary or just like a news segment about Indigenous women whose disappearances weren't being investigated sort of serially. It was like a huge epidemic. Mm-hmm. And you realize that, you know, Canada has, you know, these like rural areas where there's, you know, sort of impoverished Native populations, and it's the same thing you see everywhere in the Americas, is that that there is just not concern, you know what I mean, that it's just like, oh no, it doesn't even matter,
and it's propagandized just like every other fucking problem like that in this country, where it's like Indian people are fine, they have casinos. That's like such a fucking uncontextual and stupid statement if you know anything about what's actually happening. Like, yeah, a couple of the tribes on the coast have small memberships who are quite wealthy. Other tribes make some money and people get some money. And then you have fucking like the Apache tribe.
My understanding, most reservations are very shitty. Like, they're just, the economic conditions are awful. There's like very little services. They're just falling apart.
Yeah, there is a Instagram.
Let me finish real quick. I've been to more native casinos than probably anybody you'll ever meet, because I managed some native acts, both in music and comedy, for some time. And I went to the Apache Gold Casino in Arizona. And it's a beautiful, gigantic casino.
Just imagine for a second if there was like a Jew Gold Casino.
thousands of slot machines and, you know, a lot of action, big showroom, like all the casinos. Then you go on to the reservation where the tribes people live. And it looks like fucking Iraq post-war, bro. I'm talking fucking shanty houses, fucking stray dogs everywhere. Fucking crazy, bro. Like, you wouldn't even believe that was America, let alone the residences of the people who own that fucking casino right there, apparently. But they don't even own the casino. They license out the rights to fucking Harrah's, who fucking fills their own pockets first before they fucking pay the people whose fucking money they borrowed to fucking build the place. It's fucking like they finance the joint on the tribe's credit, and then they run it, and then they keep 80% of the money, and then the 20% has to go back to pay back the loan. So then once you've paid back your loan, then you'll see some money, basically. It's like, it's disgusting, because they don't have the talent. They don't have the talent to fucking run their own joint.
Because we haven't invested in their education or infrastructure.
Right. And that's why that's why tribes like San Manuel and Pechanga and all them are so strong, because they started as fireworks tents with a couple slot machines and
They're smaller tribes too, right? So there's less.
Right, but people. What I'm saying is they're a self-developed entity. Like
they're not run by outsiders.
There are kids who are running these multi-billion-dollar corporations as natives now because their grandfather was selling fireworks with a couple cherry masters on the side of the road 40 years ago. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So they ran like a bingo tent.
Versus other tribes who didn't have that hustle. Now,
or didn't have the option, you know,
all of a sudden see these other tribes making millions and billions of dollars and like, well, we want to have a casino. And Harrah's comes and says, do you know how to run a casino, son? And it all starts right there, bro.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I think it would be crazy to think that this concession was actually made when people say like, oh, no, well, OK, we've given Native Americans the right to do this. So they'll be fine. Based on the history of how they got to those reservations, based on how they've been treated thus far for centuries, why the fuck would anyone think that the American government is actually hooking them up or making a concession and being like, oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like making that apology. I think that's like, you know, after you've decimated an entire people, like, why the fuck would the authorities actually help them out in some way? You know what I mean?
Especially when the people who are clearly running this government, which is the white male power structure, are the great-grandchildren of the men who committed those fucking atrocities, who are bearing the fruit from those atrocities.
But the thing that I don't understand, right, is that in this situation, very plainly, it is so obvious that there is like a deep level of cruelty going on here, cruelty to other human beings. When you hear about the colonization of California and the amount of Native American people that were here of different tribes, there was entire like, you know, inter-tribe community in Northern California, right?
Run through the meat grinder of the mission system and then the Americans showing up afterwards.
And so like for someone to look back, and even if your grandfather was the guy who like went to Humboldt and like killed Native babies or whatever, right? Like, how can you now continue that legacy? You know, it's like with all the knowledge we have, with all the information and access we have to like, oh, the results of that, or this is, you know, how large groups of people feel. Like, how can someone be so inhuman?
I think it's indifference.
Because their advantage has made them weak. So now they have to fight with their advantage only.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's also, it's also part of it is we've just so thoroughly dominated the parcels of like the American continent that it like doesn't even enter into your head. Like, oh yeah, on a day-to-day, like, if you don't encounter any native people or any native iconography where you are, other than, like, street names if you're in, like, Washington State or something, or in, like, the Midwest or something, like, it just doesn't, they're just so thoroughly conquered. It just, there's no, just doesn't, it, there's just neglected.
Yeah.
It's like,
It makes me think of, it makes me think of Long Island, which is this place that was, you know, populated by Native Americans. The names, like, Manhattan, you know, Manhasset, whatever, you know, there's like Syosset, right? It's all like, there's all these Native American names and they still use those names. And then the people who live in Long Island are the most fucking racist, mangled, fucking awful people. And they're like, yeah, fucking Syosset. And they're using the name. Like, there is no greater, you know what? There probably is a greater, but this is a pretty bad, pretty egregious appropriation of those names where they're like, all right, Native people, we're not only going to wipe you out from here, but the people who live in this island, in this Long Island that you used to inhabit, are going to be like literal fucking turds of this country. The worst. Long Island is the Florida of New York. You know, honestly, I would rather deal with Floridians. I would probably rather be in Florida than Long Island. It is truly, and I have family in Long Island, and they're Pakistani. And I'm sure that they are constantly dealing with these people, but they still choose to live in Long Island. So there's a lot of Pakistanis there. They see some value in it, but they are truly the worst people on earth, I think.
The whole, the British.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's
Long Islanders.
British.
Long Islanders are the worst people on earth?
Look, we all should have
been
as the
country. Have you been to Long Island?
No, but I went to college with some Long Island people, and I've been to some.
Everyone went to college with some Long Island people. They're the ones who got out, Zach. The ones that you went to college with, they got out.
No, you know what's worse than Long Island? Staten Island.
Yeah, you know, I've only spent a little bit of time in Staten Island, but I hear it's much worse. But Long Island is also way bigger. Fair. And...
You don't have to take a ferry. Yeah.
And it is Trumpy, boy. I'll tell you that much. It is a Trumpy place.
Yeah, believe me, I know. I went to North County.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Well, I went to middle school in Long Island. I went there for eighth grade, right? And I went to what at the time was the largest middle school in America, right? And this was like 1997, 98.
Yeah.
It was 2,000 kids in three grades in Suffolk County, right? And get this.
No, almost that's too many teenagers in one place. No.
Almost all the kids were white, okay? And there was like literally there was like three or four black kids, brown kids that like I sat at a lunch table with occasionally. And they would just sit there like with their fucking head in their hands. You know why? Because when you have 2,000 white kids without any other people of color to check them, and like Wu-Tang is popular, you see some wild, like, dude, it is so like, you're like, oh my God. There was kids who would roll up like a white kid with like a buzz cut, who like with South Pole jeans on, with like one leg rolled up, like, oh, I have a gun or whatever, calling people SA. All right, walking around. And I know Zach Miller calls people SA and it's acceptable. It works. It works for him. It did not work for these kids, okay?
Hey, Rick. Amazing. No, okay. So moving on from shitting on Long Island.
When I was in seventh grade, Abdullah, I had an old English t-shirt that I fucking traded some dude from a Crip neighborhood whose uncle owned a bar in Homewood. I traded him an MC Ren Kiss My Black Ass CD for an old E t-shirt with a hole in it. So yeah, I know a thing or two about fake thugging, but I'm from the burg. I actually grew up in the city, so I don't know about these Long Island.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's a great defense.
My school was at least 50% black. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. Okay, I want to get one more topic before we wrap
up. Okay.
So it's been really funny to me. The COVID lab leak theory has regained prominence, and it's really funny because nobody's been intellectually honest about this theory the whole time. Like early on, it was just like dismissed out of hand by all the liberal publications. And we on this show were like, I mean, it's China. Yeah, it sounds like that could happen. Like, An authoritarian regime, safety protocols. We didn't think it was made in a lab, but like,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this because I mean, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist on this topic. Hollow Earth, I'm all in. Not on this thing, right? But like,
I agree. So the
issue with this thing, right, is that I'm like, okay, so you think that our greatest economic adversary, you know, like. Starts a pandemic that is perfectly designed in its latency and in its infectiousness to completely cripple our entire economy. And you think it was a complete accident? I mean, look, you just have to not be looking to think that, you know, it's like, look, China has taken a lot of measures. I mean, they keep their own currency, like, you know, valued a certain way to take advantage economically. They are all about economics. And suddenly we had something happen. Right. That originated there that completely crippled our entire economy. I'm not going to sit around and say, oh, they're designing this shit in a lab. But say if you're a scientist in China and you're like, oh, I just accidentally came up with a virus that it has a 2-week latency period. And there's no like, dude, if COVID put fucking warts on your face, Americans are so fucking superficial. We would have been all locked up in our houses no fucking way. But is this very insidious disease that takes a couple weeks? Seems like a flu, but then some people die. And it's like, it's hard to show Americans some imagery that's going to convince them to just stay at home. And so they don't stay at home because we're a bunch of arrogant, individualistic fucking pricks, right? And like, and that is a cultural trait that runs completely counter to the way that culture operates in China from the top down, right? But where there's a lot of compliance.
Let me put a little bit of context in there. On the people who didn't stay home because they're arrogant, individualistic.
I have a few points in the moment.
A lot of people in this country are also with children and quite overextended, Mr. Saeed. So taking 2 weeks off or taking a 55% pay cut to go on unemployment or whatever isn't an option.
But then isn't it a better option than spending a year and a half in a completely crippled economy? See, this is the question. I understand.
That was a lack of leadership, lack of planning.
People don't think long-term just in general.
It was definitely a lack of leadership.
That's not those people's fault. That is Donald Trump's fault and his.
But do you think in the absence of Trump that they would have politicized all the masking and all that shit? Like, wouldn't there have been someone? Okay, say that there was a Democratic president when the pandemic broke out and they were like, wear masks, wear masks, wear masks. The conservative strain in America would have had this same backlash, whether there was Trump or not. People would have been like, you're encroaching on my rights, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't think
it would have gotten that far. I think it would have been.
If there was a competent executive with the full weight of the American federal government behind them, it would have never gotten this fucking far.
Okay, look, if it was Obama, right?
Wait.
Obama had so much backlash.
They would have tracked and traced. They would have suppressed and they would have fucking not let it get this fucking far. Period.
I don't know. I think that if Obama was president, it would have been
much shorter. This was just pure inability of executive leadership.
I agree with Abdullah.
Executive leadership.
I agree with Abdullah in the sense that, like, yeah, there would have been conservative pushback if there was a Democratic president when COVID hit.
If it was poorly handled.
However, it would have been better as just a situation for our nation if we didn't have the person at the top just saying shit like, hey, take hydroxychloroquine and inject
bleach in your veins.
It's not that bad. It's just a flu. Oh my God, we need to reopen up the economy one day after we shut it down. Like,
Wait till we get a good look at that hydroxychloroquine fucking scam. That motherfucker took this.
He owns some
and used it as an opportunity to run a goddamn hustle. I don't know how the hustle works or how much money he made. But
we'll know in a few years.
To make money with that hydroxychloroquine, and that was it. It was just a fucking.
Absolutely. And I mean, so just to get us back to the point we were making before, here's the thing. Yes, of course, it's an inconvenience to people who are parents and people who run businesses and all that shit. It's a fucking unpredictable pandemic. No one is there being like, oh, yeah, like, no, but this is like designed to screw me over. It's like, that's what happened when you were sitting there. I'm sorry. That's what the fuck happened. A fucking meteor came out of the sky and crashed into your fucking town. That's just what the fuck happened. You can complain as much as you want, but that meteor is hitting your town, right? And the thing is, when that is happening, you have a couple choices. Say, hey, as a fucking disparate group of 300 million people, can we agree that let's minimize the damage by inconveniencing all of us for just a couple weeks instead of not and inconveniencing the most vulnerable of us? And while the rest of us just like go on living our lives because we have the money to, you know, to bet against something like this. Like, I think that this thing showed that we are incapable of collaborating as a country. And that's what China wanted to show. This is what the terrorists wanted, right? Like, of course, I'm a Muslim guy here using a phrase like, this is what the terrorists wanted, which is pretty hilarious to me.
You're correct. You're absolutely correct.
It is what
the
terrorists wanted. Like, you know, like when they do homegrown terror attacks here or whatever, they want white people and Muslim people or like Americans and Muslims to butt heads and to feel, they want Muslims to feel disenfranchised in their own country because that's them winning. You know, the that's how they sort of divide and conquer, right? And this is, to me, this is not that much different. It showed us our divisions. It like put our divisions in stark daylight. And that's, how is that not beneficial to a place like China?
That's or
a place like Russia, you know?
So, yeah, well, that's the whole...
Zach just left. He was like, fuck this.
That's Xi's, whole philosophy is that democracy just cannot produce consensus quick enough to handle the modern world. That's his theory. But, you know, the lab leak, just back to the theory itself.
Yeah.
So the original official story was that it was from just it randomly happened at a wet market, which plausible, but we didn't know. And we kept saying, like, you know, there's this lab that studies bat coronaviruses in Wuhan. The genetic markers don't look like it was a man-made virus, that it did jump from bat to human or whatever. But like, you got this lab there and it's like it's authoritarian country. They're known for like lax safety protocols. They probably would keep, if the virus got out, they'd probably keep that shit hush hush so the upper level people don't find out and get mad, so they don't get in trouble. They leave the lab, it starts spreading. Then it's an authoritarian nation, so the impulse is to keep the bad news out of the media.
And they made it sound like they managed it so well. And
yeah.
They had 84,000 people die, and then it just stopped. That was
they have compliance there, which we don't have here.
Yeah, they can strong arm it too, but they can fuck with the numbers.
It's not a compliance, Abdullah. It's lies.
It's authoritarianism.
Lies. They have 1.4 billion people. They can they can do a Holocaust twice and nobody would notice.
They kill
6 million people because it's a Tuesday, bro.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's true that there's definitely, we're not getting the whole story. And I mean, look, and of course, I also, you know, the subtext of this is not that authoritarianism is better somehow. I'm not saying that. There's no perfect in this situation, but in general, if we had been more cooperative with each other, we could have fought this off. I definitely think that it's terrifying that potentially China is going to like own America and sort of like run us as a colony based on their, I mean, look what they're doing to Uyghurs. You know, I mean, I feel like this is something that we've completely forgotten about. You know, I follow the Islamophobia subreddit and it's the most depressing thing because I swear to God, every post is like, oh, a bunch of Uyghur children are, you know, pictures emerge of them being chained up and beaten and shit. And like, there's like 3 upvotes on it. And I'm like, I'm one of them. You know what I mean? Like nobody gives a shit about any of this stuff, but it is it's a very, you know, like I think it goes to show that like we're in the extremes of neither system working, right? There's too many fucking people in the world, and whether you're in a place that purports to be democratic or purports to be totalitarian or whatever, it's just a bunch of people abusing their power, you know what I mean? On every end of the spectrum.
And it's, well, also the pandemic hit after 40 years of aggressive like effort by the right of the country to divide people along cultural lines to gain power for themselves. Well, so it's just a shitstorm.
I think what we've all learned today is humans suck and thank God the aliens are here.
Well,
I know. Thank God. I can't wait.
Dude, I want to pat our show on the back for being the only lefty show to actually be like, yeah, it could have leaked from a lab last year.
Yeah, so, and I mean, not for nothing. Like, it terrifies me that validates a conspiracy theory. But, I mean, if we're just being practical, rational, like, you know, like clear-thinking people, we can't deny the possibility. Now, more importantly, on the UFO thing, I think it was so fucking funny because yesterday I threw on, after a very long time, like a Discovery Channel, like alien UFOs show, you know, like an ancient alien type thing. And the hilarious thing is this used to be total junk TV. And because of the releases of like the last couple years, those shows are a lot more cocksure, buddy. They're like, oh my God, we're actually like, these are valid things we've been saying this whole time. All those crackpots who are like, I was in a farm and I got abducted by aliens. Like all of these releases of footage and shit and government papers from various countries, they give credence to those people. And I welcome it so fucking much because, you know, like a Watchmen theory, right? It's like if there are aliens and they scare us enough, we might actually cooperate with each other to, you know, to get through that together. So I welcome it. I think we need something to be scared of besides each other. And if aliens provide that for us, then fucking great.
I'm into it. I like that theory.
I just don't want to be so afraid of the aliens that we launch our primitive spears at the spaceship.
We do. Yeah. Just the day the earth stood still. They show up, they turn everything off for a day and take our nukes and then leave.
Honestly, that it would make, if they took all our nukes and guns and just bounced, and then if they took like a billion of the worst people with us, just men, all men, all males, just 1 billion of them.
Half the men,
half the men.
Thanos, the male population.
Yeah, Jesus. Thanos, the male population. Why the last man? That shit.
It's like that song, Surf City USA, Two Girls for Every Guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like two male subjugates for every woman.
Yo, and shout out again if you guys have never seen Amazon Women on the Moon. It is
a great movie.
Hilarious comedy.
I will watch this movie.
You've never seen Amazon Women on the Moon?
I've not seen it.
It's great. It's really funny.
It's got young Arsenio Hall. It's like sketch comedy interspersed with this like 60s like science fiction movie about another planet where women like enslave men and shit. It's pretty wild.
It's
an anthology, like a bunch of different directors doing segments.
But then it's got a sketch about condoms and buying condoms in it. It's like super random. It's a great movie.
Awesome. I will definitely watch that.
All right. Let's do our pluggables. Okay. So, Abdullah, where can people find you?
So check out my podcast, Great Moments in Weed History, on all platforms. We're in our fourth season. You can follow me.
Hell yeah.
I'm Your Kid on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. But, you know, I'm pretty inconsistent on that shit. So don't expect a, you know, consistent stream of content on there. It's just, you know, the occasional you know, like bullshit, like badly told joke from one of my stand-up sets. Great Moments in Weed History is the joint. That's like sort of my main thing these days. So please check that out. Thank you guys so much. I really love your show. I'm stoked to be on here. I've been doing a lot more comedy with Zach, and that's something I wanted to do just before the pandemic started. We met and we're like, we want to do more shit together. And then it was hiatus for a year and a half. So I'm so glad to be doing comedy with you, Zach. I really love you. My girlfriend was like, that guy's fucking great. What a sweetheart. You know, when you guys met the show.
June 25th, grab your private jets, one percenters, and fly into the Palm Springs Airport and come smoke weed with Abdullah Saeed and the shit show. It will be an epic event.
And Zach, to reiterate, Zach was the first guy that I smoked weed with inside after the pandemic, and it was on 420. It was a very special moment. We watched the news together, the Derek Chauvin thing, like ruling came down. It was a good day, and let's do that again. Both of you, let me know when you're here in the desert. Come to my house. I'll make tea, and we'll smoke some weed.
Hell yeah. All right. We are at Bad Lips Pod on everything, and thank you all for listening, and you have a good week.
Peace, brothers.